Amen.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Man, sitting in the presence of the Lord, you guys could take a seat. Sitting in the presence of the Lord right now and just worshiping him, I began to weep because I'm just so grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God because he, like Sister Camille was saying, he gave us the breath in our lungs. He gives us the strength to move on day by day. Each and every single one of us goes through our own battles that we have to deal with. And it's so hard, and sometimes it feels like, how the heck are we going to get through this? How are we going to make it through another day? But we have a God that is unmovable. We have a God that is unshakable. We have a God that there is nothing too great for him. And the Lord said, you're going to speak to this people, three P's, about spiritual warfare. And each and every single one of us goes through spiritual warfare every single days of our life. God wants to expose some areas that the enemy has. He could be hiding in our lives, or he is in our life spiritually. And God wants to expose him so the light shines upon the darkness and the darkness can't comprehend it. And we are walking in the fullness of what God has called us to walk in. So the first scripture that we're going to read, actually, Sister Sandy, the amazing woman of God, she said it. And this is from Psalms 139, verses 1 through 8. And it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we stand up. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar off. He knows what's going on in our mind. Thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Man, when the Lord showed me this, I didn't even know what the scripture was. I just knew the end of it. And when I began to read it as I was studying the word, I began to cry before God, because sometimes in life, it just feels like, what the heck is going on? But when the word of God begins to come in your life, it's like God is saying, I am here. There is nobody that will rip you away from me. There is no attack from the enemy that will stop my hand, my love, my power from coming towards you. Continuing. And thou art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. He knows everything we say. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind me and before me. He's behind us and he's before us. We may not be able to see him, but in our heart, we get to know that he is with us. Do you know the confidence that you get to walk when you know anywhere I go, even if it's in the darkest place, it's in the most dangerous place, we are children of the Most High. And when we stand in the truth that God is with us, we know that nothing will come against us unless he allows it. And we are in his protection. Continuing, thou hast been behind me and before me and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Even if I, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yeah, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. So what is the night like when we think about it? The night is dark. And what happens if someone, let's just say they don't have a relationship with God? Well, if you're walking in a dark area, oh, it's scary. What's over here? But we as children of God, when we walk in the dark, there is nothing to fear because our Father shines in the darkness. Continuing, yeah, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knoweth it right well. Do I need this microphone for the recording? I do? Okay. Continuing. So God, what he wanted to say is he is always with us. So just like we know that we need water and food to survive, we need to know without a shadow of a doubt that our Father is always with us. Because part of spiritual warfare, if we forget that truth, if we forget that fact, then we begin to become weak. We begin to feel like, man, what's going on? And if we don't know for a fact that our God is with us, we begin to crouch down. We begin to get pushed down. We become what the enemy wants us to be, is weak. But if we begin to instill the word of God in our heart and let it be true to us, because Jesus said, let it be as you believe. So if we believe, no matter the circumstances that's going on around us, that God is with us, no matter what external factor happens to us, we are walking with strength because the truth is inside of our heart. There's such a peace when we know that. There's so many things that we go through, but we can get through them with the Lord, and it doesn't compare to the people that are going through life without God. Have you seen anybody in this world that you know that maybe doesn't know Jesus yet or rejects Jesus? The darkness that is upon them, the pain, the struggling that they go through, it's because they're trying to go through life in a way they were never meant to go through it, without their Father, without the King, without the Holy Spirit. So the second scripture we're going to go over is 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary as the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are all in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. So we have an adversary. We have the enemy. We have the devil that has a target on all of us. Why is there a target on us? Because in the darkness, when light begins to walk around or begins to be shown, it's like, there, we need to take that one out. Because number one, that one is a threat to our kingdom. You are a threat to the kingdom of darkness when the Spirit of God lives in you. Number two, the enemy just hates God and he hates you. And he knows that he can never hurt God physically or spiritually. He doesn't have the power. But what he can try to do is take away God's beautiful creation. So let's talk about the enemy for a brief moment so we can know who we are fighting against. So in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 12 through 15, I didn't give this one to them, but I'm going to read it to you. This is God speaking to the devil. Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith the Lord of God, you were the seal of perfection. Full of wisdom and beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, and an emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared in thee the day that you were created. Before we continue going on, God called Lucifer perfect. He said you were the seal of perfection. He says your tabrets, the musical instruments, were put in you the day that you were created, because he was the angel of music in heaven. So he would go around and make the most beautiful sounds because that's how God created him. Continuing, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways to the day you were created, in the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. So imagine this, our big adversary, he was in the presence of God. He walked in the Garden of Eden. He had the ability to travel wherever the realms of heaven was. It says you walked back and forth on the stones of fire. You were perfect. This is the Father speaking to Lucifer, till iniquity was found in you. What was the iniquity? In his heart, he said, I will be higher than the Most High. He had pride. And in that moment, he was cast out of heaven. See, Lucifer does not have a chance to repent. He does not have a covering for his sin. So when he sinned up there, his punishment is eternal. So now as he goes down into Adam and Eve, he looks at them and he looks at God and he hates God. And he hates us because we are made in the image of the Father. We are made in the image of the Son. We are made in the image of the Holy Spirit. So when he looks at us, he goes like this. I hate you and I want you dead. He's not here to just mess with your finances. He's not here just to mess up your marriage. His ultimate goal is to have us separated from the Father for eternity. His ultimate goal is for us to not be in eternal life because he hates us so much and he hates the Father so much. And we have to talk about this because we need to know our enemy. We need to know how he operates. So when he looks at us, we got to know that there is a target on us. And not only us, there's a target on our children. There's a target on our family. There's a target on the people that we begin to minister. Maybe they just don't know Jesus yet. He wants to take them out. So what are some of the ways that the enemy will attack us? So I'm going to give you some tools that we can fight against the enemy. So let's think about our mind. Our mind, we have about 6,000 thoughts a day that we speak to ourselves in. They used to think it was about 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day, but recent studies show it's only 6,000. So out of those 6,000 thoughts that we have a day, you have three voices speaking to you. Your first voice is you. You speak to yourself. Right now, you're thinking thoughts to yourself. The second voice that you have, or you could have, is the voice of God. How do we know when God is speaking to us? How do we know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us? How do we know when Jesus is speaking to us? Well, we spend time in his presence. Spiritual warfare, the devil doesn't want you to get in your Bible and begin to read this word. He doesn't want you to ask God and say, God, what does this word mean? What is the revelation in this word? God, what does your voice sound like? God, what are you speaking to me? See, when you begin to go into the presence of the Lord, it takes effort. I didn't want to spend time with God when I was 18 years old. I didn't want to spend time with God when I was 23 years old. I just wanted to pray for protection and blessing. But as God began to draw me in, I understood that, man, this is the treasure of all treasures. This is the one that we have to fight to get into. So spiritual warfare, the devil's going to do everything he can to try to stop you to know your Father's voice. But when you press in and you begin to say, God, I want to know you. How do you speak to me? Is it audibly? Is it through my heart? Is it through feelings? Is it through signs? Is it through wonders? What are you speaking to me and how is it? And then when you begin to know his voice, you're no longer walking around here saying, well, what does God want for me? The Holy Spirit begins to lead you. In the book of Romans, it says, all those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. So it is our job and it is our duty to begin to seek the Lord and his voice. And let there be no condemnation, because sometimes we're like, man, I haven't spent any time trying to know God's voice. That's the enemy trying to stop the whole world from knowing God's voice. But if in your heart you begin to say, man, Lord, you are worthy that I would seek you. You are worthy that I would give you my time. You are worthy that I would pour everything out to you. He's going to begin to reveal himself to you. And your life is going to change like never before. You're going to go to the next level, because we were all destined to know what the Father is saying to us. That is the reason Jesus came, so that we can have an intimate relationship with him. He is the mediator between us and God. He is the reason why we get to have a relationship with the Lord. A lot of the things that we go through, if we didn't have a relationship with God, we would be destroyed. Yeah. So as you grow and you get stronger, you get to go through life in power, in boldness, and the enemy has no hold on you. So that's the second voice, is the voice of the Lord. The third voice is the voice of the devil. So remember the verse that we just read, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeing who he may devour. So a roaring lion, when a lion roars, it's because it wants to bring fear. It wants to show dominance. It wants to say, I'm here and I have the power to destroy you. But what does a lion do when it's going after prey? A lion is quiet. He's hidden. He doesn't want his prey to know that he is around, because then he can attack and he can kill. So how does the enemy come into our life in a hidden fashion? Well, when he's hidden, he'll go like this. He doesn't say, Shane, you should hurt yourself. Shane, you will amount to nothing. Shane, you are depressed. He rather says, I should hurt myself. I am depressed. I will amount to nothing. I should do this. I should pick up one more drink. I should pick up one more smoke. He speaks to you in the voice of I. So when you begin to live your life, the enemy is throwing thoughts in your head saying, I, and you think it's your own, and you take ownership of the lies of the devil. So when you begin to read the word of God, you begin to challenge every single thought that is going through your mind. So when the enemy is speaking to you, do you know how many people think that they are crazy? Or think that they have to do this, or think and believe that they are going down the wrong path, but it's really someone speaking to them. It's a demon speaking to them. It's the devil speaking to them. So spiritual warfare, when it comes to our mind, we have to challenge every single thought that is going through our mind. So I like to say it like this. Take an inventory of your own thought. Take an inventory of what's going on in your head. And when you begin to look at what's going on in your head, you get to match everything up. Does this match up with the word of God? Does this match up with what my father says about me? Does this match up with the truth of Jesus? Or am I living and walking in a lie? And then when the lie is being exposed, it goes like this. If you see something that's not matching up with the word of God, you got to say, red flag, red flag, red alert, alarm, alarm, alarm. What's going on? And this is a big deal because so many people go through fights and battles in their minds and they tell nobody about it. So then you begin to get pushed down by the enemy. But when you begin to take inventory of what's going on in your mind and you challenge it with the word of God and you give the time and say, well, what does the word of God say about me? Does the word of God say I am nothing, or does the word of God say I am fearfully and wonderfully made? So when that lie comes in, you're like, boom, that's not the truth. And then the enemy begins to flee, because what did Jesus do whenever the enemy came to him? He came back to him with the word. He tried again, came back to them with the word. Tried one more time, came back with him to the word and said, back away from me, Satan. And that's how the enemy is with us when we know the word of God. So next, so that's the mind. Next is the circumstances that happen around us. So this scripture is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth him, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. It's founded upon Jesus. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So this Bible is literally the word of God. So Jesus literally speaks in here. And we get to know certain things that he says about how you should treat those that persecute you, how you should love God. We, as our job in spiritual warfare, our war weapons of warfare is this word. And we need to know it. And it is our responsibility, each and individually, to pick this up and ask God, what are you saying? Because we come to church on Sundays and we allow the pastor to speak us. That's his job, is to guide us in the right direction. But our job is on a daily basis, what are you saying, God, so I can grow and be more and more like you. So I'm going to give you a testimony of how Jennifer and I, our lives were built on a rock. On the rock, not a rock, the rock. So we got married in 2017 and it was beautiful. I was so fired up for the Lord. I had no shoes on and I was screaming across the church and people thought something was happening. I was like, thank you, God. Because to me, it was such a special moment that he brought my bride to me. And I wanted, all I wanted to do was honor God literally in front of 300 people. Was it 300 or in front of a lot of people? So I was like, I don't care if I look crazy. Everybody's going to know, even if you're not a believer, that our lives is submitted to Jesus. And it was the most amazing thing. I don't even remember that night. It's just, we said hi to so many people. It's like, that's all we could do is hi, 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 hi. So the next day I had a cousin. His name was James, but we called him Little James. He was like a father figure to me because when I was growing up, you know, my mom and dad were separated. So it was mainly most of the time me and my mom. Little James was an older cousin, but like a brother and a father figure to me. He taught me a lot of good things and didn't teach me so many good things. It's just young kids going through stuff, and we all love the Lord. He went to he went to Afghanistan as a military, came back, you know, had issues going on. But the next day after our wedding, me and her just landed in Vegas, and we're going to fly to the Bahamas like a day later. And we're like, let's go get some pizza. Let's just go eat real quick. And as we're walking through Vegas, my phone begins to ring, and my mom calls me, and she's saying something, hysterically crying, and I can't understand what she's saying. And I say, what? And then Jennifer's phone begins to ring, and it's my brother-in-law telling her what's going on. And then my mom says, Little James just shot himself in the head. And I was like, just kind of like, well, is he dead or is he alive? And she's like, I don't know. Just go enjoy your vacation. Like, wait, Mom, we're not going to go enjoy our vacation. We get on a plane. We fly back to L.A. He's at OC Hospital. And I know this is going to be a little graphic, but it's spiritual warfare. I see my cousin and his head is as big as a balloon and he's on life support and just that's what's keeping him alive. The room is filled with pastors, prayer warriors. Everybody's praying that a miracle will happen. And then 2 days later, the decision was made to pull the plug. So they pull the plug on him, and you can literally see his body go from color to light, like just white. And his spirit left his body. So from right there, Jennifer now sees a different man in me. Because before, when I met her, I was sold out for the Lord. And when the issue came with my cousin, I went back to my old ways, which was getting high, drinking alcohol. That was the only way I could cope in the moment. And I told God, I said, God, I'm not mad at you, but God, I am struggling right now. I don't blame you, but this is the only way that I know how I can get through it. So me and Jennifer are having an extremely hard time in our first couple of years of marriage. And it went on for a couple years. And then, but I never gave, like, I never said, God, this is your fault. I hate you. I said, God, I just need you to get me through this however you can. Spiritual warfare, if I would have blamed God, it would have put me in a horrible spiral, pushing me extremely far from my Father, and it could still be it can still be messing me up till today. So the reason why I'm saying that is because one day I'm driving and the Lord begins to speak to me and he says, make a left, make a right, drive straight. And I'm driving for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I'm not hearing from God. And before you know it, I end up in front of little James's house where that happened. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So the Lord pulls me up in front of his house and I'm like, okay, God is about to set me free. God is about to do something mighty. And I sit there for 20 minutes and nothing happens. And I'm like, God, and I begin to drive off. And the Lord speaks to me and he says, Shane, do you know why I brought you here? And I said, no. He says, because you've been going through death without me. See, if you allow me to be in the midst of death, I am death and I can shine my light even in the midst of death. In other words, telling me, Shane, you're broken because you lost someone so near and dear, but you haven't allowed me to be in your life in this moment. Allow me to be in your life in this moment. And so when he came, I said, you're right, God. Show me how to do this. Now, that moment forward, I said, God, you're here in the midst of my broken heart. You're here in the midst of the death. And the Lord set me free because he showed me his presence is greater than anything that we can go on in this world, even in the midst of a suicide death. And from that day forward, I had a burning desire in my heart. And I said, God, I'm going to be a man of God and I'm going to speak about spiritual warfare, because there was a demon in his head. There was lies in his head that told him he had to pull that trigger. But you know what? When the word of God is there, the demons can't stand in the presence of truth. So then I began to just grow and be just on fire for the Lord to let Jesus go forward wherever we went. And so then the Lord opened up doors for me to go speak to men about spiritual warfare, speak to men about the hidden secrets that they don't tell nobody about. And God has set so many men free. Testimony one, God brought me through a suicidal death, but my life was founded on the rock. And he brought me out to not let that death go in vain, but to allow the Lord to speak his word to many men so they wouldn't have to go through what my cousin went through. And I think of it as an honor to honor little James. I said, hey, I know you love the Lord, so I'm going to honor God, which is going to honor you. And that's how we bulldoze through life. Testimony number two, when Asher was 6 months old, our firstborn child, 9 months old, I'm at work and Jennifer is at home and she calls me and she said, I said, hey, it's a really big job. Is this an emergency? She said, yes. Asher just swallowed a pin tack. And I said, a pin tack? You know those old school little colored pin tacks that you put in a wall? I said, what? I'm freaking out. She says, the ambulance are here. We're going to be at this hospital. So the story is Jennifer is folding some clothes and our little baby is just sitting right there. And we've done everything we can to make sure this house is baby proof. And she says, something sharp goes out of his mouth like that. She's like, what the heck is that? So she tries to go get it. And the pin tack, he thinks it's a game. And he swallows it and it gets stuck in his throat right here. And she says he begins to turn blue and his lips turn white. And she's freaking out with 911. And she's like, what do I do? So she tries to get it out and she pushes it down his throat and it goes down. So when the ambulance comes, our son is just laughing, having fun. Long story short, we go to the hospital and they're like, well, there's nothing really we could do here. He's on a gurney. They have an IV in him. They're like, there's two things that could happen. Number one is that this can puncture his internal organs and he can bleed out and we're going to have to do emergency surgery. Or number two, he's going to just poop it out and it'll just go through his system. But we're going to send you home now. What? They're going to send us home? So imagine the feeling that we are having as parents being broken. And like our little son, our first and only little baby, And I'm on the phone with one of my brothers. He's a prayer warrior in the Lord. And we're praying in the spirit. We're going in and he hears from God and God says, did you not give me this one? So when Asher was born, I picked him up and I said, God, literally right out of the womb, I said, this is your child. We may be his biological parents, but you are his father and I dedicate him to right now. So I gave my son over to the Lord the day he was born. And the Lord reminded me of that in that moment. So from that moment when God said, this is my child, nothing will happen to him. So I believed on that and I stood on that. So we go home and it's the most uncomfortable night. But when we go home, I'm dreaming. And Jennifer goes, he pooped it out. I wake up 10 seconds later from me opening my eyes. Jennifer goes, he pooped it out. So my father, my God, brought the pin tack through my son's stomach without him injuring it. It's not by chance. It's not by coincidence. It's by my father. He is the one that protected it. Spiritual warfare. I know that that was the enemy trying to come and take out my son. I know that that was the enemy trying to come and take out me and my wife. It was the devil. But you know what? My house was founded on the rock. We stood on Jesus all the way up until whatever happens. And he is the one that moved through it. He is the one that kept my son safe. Third testimony, and this will be the last one. My father, who I said, you know, we weren't really close when I was younger. He got strung out on fentanyl maybe 4 years ago. And he would be around and, you know, he would ask for money or whatever it may be. And I would tell God, I'd be like, you know, God, I pray that you could save him. I pray that you could help him. And it was bad. My dad, you know, he was so skinny. He was wrapped up in drugs. And one day I get a call from my aunt and my aunt is hysterically crying once again in a hysterical cry. She goes, Mijo, your father tried to kill himself. And immediately I said, is he dead or is he alive? Because this time when someone tried to kill themselves, I wasn't a scared little boy. I was a grown man of God that said, if he is still alive, Jesus still has an opportunity. She said, he is still alive. So I go to the hospital and I see him and he's like, Shane, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. And he really tried to do, but he tried to cut himself right here on his arm with a steak knife. And it bled for 5 minutes and then it stopped. And he was like, it stopped. Then he did it. He's like, I did it super deep right here. And it really started to bleed, Shane. He said, but 5 minutes later, it stopped. He said, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to cut my neck. So he tries to cut his neck with a steak knife. Then that didn't work. And he tries to stab himself in the heart. That didn't work. So at this point, he's like, I'm not going to die. So he calls 911. The Lord didn't allow my father to die. Because God was going to give him an opportunity through Jesus. So then I go to the hospital and I have a bracelet and it shows this. This says, look at him. This is something that God gave Jennifer and I to show everybody. No matter what situation you're going through in your life, whether you've been hurt by the church, you're going through a breakup, whatever. Like for my dad's situation, you just try to kill yourself. Look at him. Look at Jesus. So I put a bracelet on my dad and I said, this says, look at him, Dad. He's like, okay. So it became, he's like, Shane, I don't know what to do. So he turns himself into a recovery place at downtown LA. And they put him in a psych ward room. And he walks in there. He's like, okay, this is what's going to help me. He says, as soon as he sits down on the bed, God speaks to him and he says, where are you going to go now? He says, let's talk. And my dad said, the fear of the Lord came upon him. Boom! And so that is when God started his transformation victory upon my dad. Spiritual warfare. If we weren't founded on the rock, I would have went to my dad and who knows what we would have did. Who knows what would have happened. Now, 3 years later, my dad has not done anything. He's got a new job and he's living with us and he's seeking the Lord like never before. So it's circumstances that happens around us that try to affect us in spiritual warfare. But if you seek the Lord and you get near to him and you begin to give him everything you got, not only can you be strong for yourself, but you can be strong for those around you. You could be the light of Jesus for someone that may not be able to get through. Or even for yourself, if you're struggling or if you're going through something, we need to have boldness and courage to be like, something is not right. And we begin to talk to someone that we know is close to the Lord. We know is filled with the Spirit of God. So there's two things that God wants to speak specifically about for this congregation. He says, I want to target oppression and depression. So maybe some of you may be having an oppression, or may be having a depression, or you know someone that is going through an oppression or a depression. So what's the difference? Oppression is an external pressure. In other words, it's something from the outside that is beginning to push you down. So when you're oppressed, you're feeling like this, and it feels like a dark cloud or a black cloud, and you just don't know what's going on. That is an oppression. Then depression is an internal circumstance that is pulling you down. So the way the Lord was showing me, well, the enemy comes to oppress you and push you down with maybe thoughts, circumstances, something that just happened in your life, and you're getting pushed down and you feel like you don't know how to get out. Depression is where those things that are pushing down to you, you hold on to it and it begins to pull you down. Now you're being depressed because you're holding on to it. So the Lord wants to talk about, how do we get out of oppression? How do we get out of depression? Right now, you need to take an inventory of your life. Look at your life and begin to say, is there anything that is pushing me down that I don't tell nobody about? Is there anything that is pulling me down that I'm scared to admit that it's going on? Or is there anybody that I know that I could just see something's wrong with them? Something is going on with them. And if you could admit that to yourself, you're on the first step to being free from oppression and depression. Because the first step is you got to be honest with the Lord. You got to be honest with yourself. And you have to say, God, I'm struggling. And I don't know how to get through this. God loves honesty. He loves when we come to him the way we are. We don't have to get all dressed up and look right and be sinless to come to the Father. We just have to come and say, you love me. And it's because you love me that I'm going to run to your presence, because you are my only way out. So if you know anybody that is struggling with oppression, or if you know anybody that is struggling with depression, be bold and ask God, how do you want me to come and speak to them? How do you want me to come and share your love in your life? Is it just standing next to them? Is it just bringing up a simple conversation? Because your light in me will begin to shine upon them. Or if you're going through something yourself, the Lord was saying, be honest. Be honest. Don't be shameful. The devil wants you to be shameful, like, hey, you're not all perfect. You're not full of Jesus. You're not being this person. That is a lie from the pit of hell. One of the greatest things about being a follower of the Lord is we get to be honest and say, I am struggling. Because when we are weak, he is strong. But if we're strong all the time, God can never show his strength in our life. See, he's the one that gives us strength. Okay, next verse, it's John chapter 8, verse 12. Then it says this, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. So the enemy, he is only dark. He is only darkness. But my answer to spiritual warfare, for this portion of spiritual warfare, is the way that we overcome and become victorious in this war is with Jesus. He is the light of life. Now you hear Jesus, you're like, okay, well, what about Jesus? It's what Jesus says. It's the presence of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And when we as individuals begin to say, Jesus, I need you to show up. It's not like we're just speaking to some cloud in the sky. Jesus is an actual person. He is the Son of God. He is the Word of God. And he is full of power. And when the people of God begin to call upon him, he will surely show up. But you got to believe it in your heart. Jesus said, let it be as you believe. Yeah. So if you believe Jesus is going to show up, his light will show up in your light, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Continuing, next verse, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus right here was speaking about, I am the way. The way to where? The way to God. I am the truth. The truth of what? The truth of all things. Have you ever heard anybody say, what is truth? What is your truth? There is no what is your truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. So anything that Jesus says, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that it is true. And he says, I am the life. So if you're walking around and you feel like you're lifeless, that means Jesus needs to fill a void in your heart. And it's not a portion of your heart. He needs to have the whole heart of you. Because when he has the whole heart of you, now you are connected to the source. And there is life in you and through you. And you live a different purpose. So when we war against the devil, I am the way. So how do I get out of this spiritual battle? Jesus. We got to run to him and we got to seek to him. So, Lord, I'm struggling. God, I can't get through this. God, I don't feel like I could go another day. And if you have the courage and if you have the boldness to tell your Father that, to tell Jesus that, to tell the Holy Spirit that, I promise you, God will show up. He loves you so much. He wouldn't not show up when we earnestly cry out to him. But I want to encourage you. Maybe we've cried out one time and God, we didn't think God showed up. Maybe we cried out two times and we didn't feel the presence of the Lord. Or maybe we cried out 10 times and we feel like God is not coming. But I want to say this, God loves a contrite spirit. He loves a broken spirit. He loves when we have nothing left and we are crying out to him with all we got. Think about it. We as humans go to work every single day so we could provide for our family. Why? Because we need that money. We as humans eat food and water every single day. Why? Because without it, we'll die. It's the same thing with Jesus. We need to be zealous with getting the Lord in our life. We need to be on fire and we need to say, Lord, if I don't have a fire for you, give me a fire. If I don't have a hunger for you, give me a hunger. Am I eating too many other things, everything but you? And if you begin to do that, you will change as an individual. And the reason the Lord is saying this is because the enemy knows that his time is short. And we all hear this all the time. The enemy knows his time is short. I personally believe in my heart, not thus saith the Lord, we are in a pinnacle time as believers. This is the biggest time that we get to have and allow Jesus to save us because the enemy is fighting for our kids. He's fighting for their minds. He's fighting for just the world to reign and God to disappear. But if we as believers say, God, however you want to use me, use me. I used to pray to God and say, God, if I could just pick up the dog poop in heaven, I'll be happy because it's in your kingdom. If you have a heart where it just says, God, use me however you want, God will show up and he will put you in purpose. Next scripture, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought into the obedience of Christ. Going back to the mind. Our weapons are not something that we could just pick up physically. Our weapons are spiritual. You cannot see the spirit, but Jesus says, just like the wind comes and you can't see it, you can feel it. That's how the spirit is. You may not be able to see your weapons, but if you believe in your heart, God, give me the weapon of warfare to set myself free, that you would set me free and keep me free. Father, give me the weapons to pray for my family, my children, my grandchildren. He will begin to give it to you. Now, lastly, how do we stay from the enemy completely trying to take us out, because his ultimate goal is to kill us and separate us from the Father. We got to be a people of prayer. We got to praise and we got to proclaim. Three P's. Ask yourself, am I a person of prayer? But this is between you and God. How much do you pray? If your prayer life is weak, then you will be weak. But if your prayer life is strong, you will be strong. And there's many times that I go through and I haven't prayed and I feel like a sponge without water, sucked up and dry and getting attacked by the enemy. But when I humble myself before the Lord and say, I need to talk to you at least 5 minutes today. I at least need to give you your time. I feel like a different man because I have the food that I need to get in and day out. You need a fast. Ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to fast? Lord, do you want me to put away food? What is it that you want me to give up for a day, 2 days, 3 days? And if he leads you on a fast, do it. It's hard. It struggles. But guess what? He honors it. And when we put away the fleshly things, the spirit begins to rise. And we get to hear from the Father clearly. We get to know what he's saying on a different level. Crying out. Have you guys ever heard of anybody crying out? Maybe we've cried out for personal things. I want to challenge you, cry out for the Lord. Put yourself in that position where you're like, well, I don't really want to cry out for the Lord. Hey, red flag. We as a people need to begin to cry out. I need to cry out because we need to be hungry and thirsty for God. And seeking, knocking, and obeying. Jesus said, if anybody seeks, you will find. If anybody knocks, the door will be open. And if you know what Jesus said? You know how he describes love? He says, if you love me, you will do what I say. If you love me, you will obey. In other words, I could tell Jesus all day long, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, but I never do anything he wants me to do. I don't love him. I'm just proclaiming it with my mouth. So if you are in this war spiritually, we need to pray, seek, and obey. And if you begin to do that, your life will look like never before. You will look like what you've always destined to be. So we have the victory through Jesus Christ. You are overcomers through spiritual warfare, but you need to have it serious in your heart and you need to say, all right, God, I need to get closer to you. I want to be on fire for you. I want you to change me into the man or woman that you've always destined me to be. Because it's going to be worthy when we stand before him. Each and every single one of us has a clock on our lives. And that clock, we don't know when it's going to end up. My clock can end as soon as I walk out of here. And I will be standing before the Lord. And I know in my heart, I want to live a life that was worthy before him when I stand before him. Because this life is nothing but a vapor. It goes gone. But you know what's for eternity? God, the life after this one. So I just want to pray for you guys. And then we're going to close it out. Okay? All right. Father, we come before you. And if everybody could close your eyes. And if you want to raise your hand, if you're going through oppression, depression, spiritual warfare, please raise your hand. And I will specifically pray for you. So, Father, we come before you. And, Lord, we thank you. I see your hand. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, by your spirit, by your hand, that you would begin to strengthen us. You would begin to give us your power. You would begin to lift us up and move us forward, Lord. You see the one that just raised their hand, God. I pray that oppression and depression would be lifted off right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you would send your warring angels upon him, Lord, and you would lift up that yoke off of them, Lord. And I pray that he would feel empowered by your spirit. I cover every single person in the blood of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would humble ourselves and run to you and give you everything you deserve. So we thank you for that and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. What a message. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for the word today. I believe that everybody in the house of the Lord today was challenged by this message, giving us to think about who we're listening to. Who just said that? Is God saying it or is the enemy saying it or is it just me? A lot of us in here have been through some things. Thank you for the word, Brother Shane, Pastor Shane. Amen, amen. Praise God. God has brought you a long way. At a young age.